وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرة مولانا سليم صاحب. May the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always be on you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue taking the khidmat of deen from you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels and Allah ta'ala says, and we told the angels, usjudu li Adam, prostrate to Adam. They all prostrated except Iblis. He refused and was arrogant, and he was from amongst the disbelievers. Now all the angels prostrate before Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, but Iblis refused to do so. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hijr that he commanded the angel saying, so when I fashioned him and blown my spirit into him, and commanded the angels, then fall in prostration to him. However, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam's superiority over the angels was already established. Allah reiterated the command saying, prostrate to Adam. Consequently, they all prostrated. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ Except Iblis. Now we'll discuss the ruling relating to prostrating before a person to honor him. Every Muslim knows that the angels prostrating for Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was not a prostration made with the intention of worship, because this type of prostration is reserved exclusively for Allah. However, the commentators differ about the type of prostration that the angels were commanded to make for Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Some commentators say that the prostration was made for Allah, but Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was used as the focal point, the Qibla, whereby his status was also highlighted. This is just like how the status of the Kaaba Sharif is highlighted by the fact that it is a Qibla for the worshippers, but we are actually making a sajda to Allah. So other commentators say that the prostration was made for Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, but only to honor him, not with the intention of worshipping him. The example of this is the prostration that the family of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam made before him. Any prostration, sajda, made for a being besides Allah is prohibited, is haram in the Sharia of our Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. While the prostration sajda made for Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam may have been permissible in his Sharia, a sajda of honor and respect, it is not applicable to ours. Sayyidina Qais bin Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala narrates that he saw the people of Hira prostrating before their leaders. He thought that it is worthier to prostrate before the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than those leaders. Therefore, when he appeared before the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recounted what he had seen and requested permission to prostrate before the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Will you prostrate before my grave as well?" When Sayyidina Qais radiallahu ta'ala replied in the negative, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then do not prostrate before me now. If I had to order anyone to prostrate before another person, I would have ordered women to prostrate before their husbands because of the rights that Allah has accorded men over women. Now this hadith makes it clear that prostration and sajda cannot be made before any person or any grave. Various other ahadith have also forbidden making prostration before anyone besides Allah. Some ulama have deduced the prohibition of prostration sajda made out of respect from a verse in Surah Jin where Allah Ta'ala says, indeed, the masjids, all prostration that is sajda are for Allah. So do not call to anyone with him. Allah says in Surah Hijr, every one of the angels prostrated except Iblis. He refused to be amongst the prostrating ones. So Allah said, O Iblis, what prevents you that you are not of the prostrated ones? So he said, what? Allah Ta'ala said, what hindered you that you could not prostrate when I commanded you? So he replied, Ana khayrun min khalaqtani min narin wa khalaqtahu min tin. I am better than him. You have created me from fire and created him from clay. He objected that it was not logical for a creation of a superior origin like fire to prostrate to one of a lowly origin like clay. His proof of superiority was erroneous, because if you try and understand it, the nature of fire is destructive, while the nature of soil is constructive, since it permits construction of buildings and the origin of foods. Soil is therefore superior to fire in many ways. In any event, the duty of a believer, a mu'min, is to carry out Allah's command, even if it does not seem logical to him. Instead, Iblis chose to be arrogant. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala says in the applicable verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, he refused. Aba wastakbara, and he was arrogant, and he was from amongst the disbelievers. So certain commentators interpret the verse to mean that then he became one of the disbelievers. When Iblis adopted this attitude, Allah cursed him, meaning that he dispelled him from his mercy. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Araf, go down from ye. It ill behoves you that you should be arrogant ye. Be gone, for you are surely of the disgraced ones. Allah says in another verse that he told Iblis, get out hence, for you are certainly accursed. Verily, my curse shall be upon you till the day of judgment. A person whom Allah has cursed till resurrection day, till Qiyamah, can never expect his mercy. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Sa'd, I shall fill hell with you, Iblis, and with all those who follow you. Due to his pride, Iblis chose to be accursed till the day of resurrection, instead of prostrating to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. This is the danger of pride. It will cause devastation for a person in both worlds. Some people have asked why Iblis, who is a jinn, was accursed when the command to prostrate was only issued to the angels. So this question is itself erroneous, because in Surah Araf it is clear when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes, it's quoted as Allah ta'ala says, what hindered you that you could not prostrate when I commanded you? So this verse makes it clear that Iblis also received the command to prostrate. However, only Allah really knows whether the command was directly issued to him or whether he was included among the angels, because he was constantly with them. What the Quran Majid does inform us that Iblis lived in the heavens and was banished therefrom. Durr Mansur reports narrations from certain companions, radiyallahu anhum, the successor of the companions of the Tabi'in, rahmatullahi, wherein it is related exactly what Iblis used to do in the heavens. However, these narrations seem to be sourced from the Bani Israel, and they cannot be therefore authenticated. The Iblis bears an enmity for the progeny of Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taha, O Adam, indeed he is an enemy to you and your wife, so he should never remove the two of you from heaven, causing you to be unfortunate. Surah Bani Israel quotes Iblis as telling Allah, if you grant me respite till the day of resurrection, I will surely gain control of Adam alayhi salam's progeny, except a few individuals. So the details of this discussion will inshallah be completed in the second ruku. Iblis's original name was Azazil. After being cursed, he was called Iblis, or devil, shaitan. And how appropriate is the word devil, although it's an English word, that if you just take away the D for devil, you're left with evil, meaning an extremely evil being. He's the worst devil, and all his progeny are also called devil, shaitan, right? The plural of which is shayateen. Since there are many humans who perpetrate acts like similar to those performed by these devils, it is commonly said that they are devils, shayateen al-insi wal-jinn, from amongst men and from amongst the jinn. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. We said, O Adam, you and your wife should live in heaven, in Jannah, and eat in abundance therefrom, from wherever you desire. However, do not approach this tree, otherwise the two of you will become of the oppressors. So Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and his wife were commanded to live in heaven and to eat freely as they please. However, they were specifically forbidden from a certain tree and were explicitly told not even to approach it. So Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has not specified exactly what tree the couple was forbidden to approach. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and others say that it was a wheat plant. Another opinion is Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, they have mentioned that it was a grapevine, while Sayyidina Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi is of the opinion that it was a fig tree. And some even refer to it as the apple. So others have also stated that it was a date palm. Therefore, you will find that the Apple emblem, you know, on all their products, their computers and the iPhone phones, has got a portion that is bit off, and they refer to that as temptation. We therefore cannot be certain as to which tree was meant. Nevertheless, it is also not necessary that we know this, because no religious law is derived from it. Now this is something. فَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا. So the devil, Shaitan, caused the two of them to slip into error by means of the tree, thereby remove them from whence they were. We said, go down as enemies to each other. On earth there shall be sanctuary for you and a place of benefit for a while. So the Shaitan tricks Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, thereby removing them from Jannah. Allah warns Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam to beware of devil Shaitan, his arch enemy, who was sent on causing harm to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, his wife and their progeny. So Shaitan was forever lying in ambush to remove Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam from heaven, thereby depriving him of the bounties of Jannah. He knew that he would attain this goal if he could somehow beguile Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam to eat from the forbidden tree. So he therefore told Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam that he was prevented from eating from the tree because it would grant him an eternal existence in heaven as an angel. Recounting the speech of Shaitan, Allah says in Surah Araf, your Lord has prohibited you from this tree so that you do not become two angels, and the two of you do not become of the immortal. O Adam, Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Taha, so the devil said, O Adam, should I not show you a tree of eternity and the kingdom wherein there is no weakness? Shajaratul Khuld. He did not merely speak to them casually, but swore on oath. And Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Araf, he took an oath before them saying, most assuredly, I am definitely an advisor to you. Eventually, so doing, he manipulated them with deceit. Thereafter, when they tasted from the tree, their private parts became exposed. When the clothes of Jannah were removed from their bodies, and they began gathering the leaves of Jannah upon themselves, the Lord called them, did I not forbid you from that tree and warned you that Shaitan is your open enemy? They both submitted, O our Lord, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. O our Lord, we have oppressed our souls, and if you do not forgive us and show mercy to us, we will be surely of the losers. Eventually, he succeeded in tricking them into eating from the tree. As a result, they were sent to earth, which was actually predestined for them, in which Allah Ta'ala initially intended to place a viceroy. After they ate from the tree, Allah Ta'ala told them, go down to the earth as enemies to each other. On earth, there shall be sanctuary for you and a place of benefit for a while. This verse could mean that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and his progeny are destined to live on earth till resurrection day, the Qiyamah, the time of which is ordained. It could also mean that every person will live for a fixed time till one's death. So the command to go down to earth is mentioned as a plural in Arabic grammar. Only a number more than two is regarded as a plural, not two, whereas there were only two persons involved. So commentators have mentioned that the devil was also instructed to go down to earth in this verse, due to which the plural is used. Other commentators say that the instruction actually applied to the progeny of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, which the couple were to reproduce. So this interpretation is most viable, because in Surah Taha, Allah Ta'ala mentions the instruction using a verb denoting two birth persons, and Allah Ta'ala says, the two of you should go down from here, and you people will be enemies to each other. So Iblis was already given the command to leave heaven earlier. The phrase enemies to each other could mean either that mankind will be enemies to each other as we see today, or that the devil, Shaitan, will be their constant enemy. And so Adam alayhi salam received a few words from his Lord, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance. Inshallah, we shall discuss this tomorrow morning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on our deen and understand the beautiful message of the noble Quran, and always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the treachery of Shaitan the accursed. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.